Evan Ryder hated Washington. Like Hollywood, it was ruled by greed and fear. The frenzied stench of self-perpetuation was a smog that never lifted, even on the most sublime spring day, fouling the air inside the Beltway. Despite that, chances were it was as close to home as she was ever going to get. As someone who had lost the ability to find home or those with whom she had shared it, she supposed DC's tissue-thin facade of respectability was a tonic she needed to drink from time to time, like medicine, to remind herself of mankind's essential hypocrisy and the evil that arose from it. It was this evil, this hypocrisy, and her fight against them, that gave meaning to her life. As she made her way through the morning throngs on their way to jobs at various self-important bureaus, she was reminded all over again that DC was like Narcissus, staring into a mirror, admiring his reflection instead of taking care of the difficult business of governing. Nevertheless, here she was in Foggy Bottom, bucking a tide of drones, suits with thousand-yard stares, talking on their mobile phones. She moved through them like a wisp, like a ghost. Her thick black hair was tied back in a ponytail, and she was clad in black pants, a cashmere sweater that matched her eyes, which were the brindled color of a gray wolf. A waist-length black leather jacket and steel-tipped ankle boots she had had made for her in Portugal. She had a wide mouth and an athlete's body, compact, wide at the shoulders, narrow at the hips. At restaurants, sometimes, and if the diners were drunk, she would get mistaken for Emily Blunt or, if drunker still, Katy Perry. But only sometimes. Mainly, no one paid her the slightest attention. Benjamin Butler was the reason she was here. Butler was perhaps the only person in D.C. who could command her immediate attention. His briefs kept her in the field, doing what she wanted to do, what she needed to do. Evan and Butler had worked together as field agents some years ago, and they had a complex, intimate history from those days. Now Butler was a director, and Evan's boss. A dyed-in-the-wool field agent. She was fine with that. Butler was one of the only two people alive whom Evan trusted. The handful of others were all dead. Butler and Evan worked for the DOD in a black ops shop, whose yearly budget was appropriated from one of several Pentagon slush funds without oversight from Congress. Who Butler reported to, Evan couldn't say. She only knew that whoever it was very high up in the DOD food chain. For that reason alone, Butler would have been feared throughout the clandestine community. Add to this his fierce personality, indomitable spirit, and uncanny ability to ferret out the bad apples, no matter how deeply embedded, and he should have been feared by everyone in the CI community. The reason he wasn't was simple. Unlike any other of his colleagues, Butler trained and deployed a good number of female field agents, whereas other clandestine agencies deployed none. He was alone in understanding, as his Russian counterparts did, that females could extract intel more often than male agents, and more of it to boot. Females were considered circumspect, and could play off men's weaknesses for sex, love, and affection, which most often, considering their profession, they failed to get from their wives, if they had wives, or ex-wives.
Thank you for listening to this clip, provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.